rough today.
The shorts of California. I grew up in Disney. I grew up in Disney World. I'm jolly old St. Nick.
I grew up in Disney World. Oh, my God.
So here's the difference between the four people on this pod right now. Three are currently Vegas affected. Me, last night, I didn't even, you know, there was a party next door to my
way.
From 3 a.m. until 6:45.
Oh, no.
I was that person who called security twice.
Oh. Yes.
Welcome into the Hoop Collective from Las Vegas, Nevada, and the 2018 Summer League. And as I'm looking at my colleagues and friends hurting
no,
right now.
Hold on. You did not clarify which league Summer League. Is this the MLB Summer League?
Wait.
Is this the JBL Summer League?
Shut up.
The people are confused.
This is called the Hoop Collective.
Cassidy, what, is it the College Basketball Summer League? The people are confused. They click
so
on
the
link.
So you wanted me to go, welcome into the Hoop Collective, Las Vegas, Nevada, the 2018 NBA Summer League. The laugh you hear. That's Nick Friedell.
Hello.
Jolly old Saint Nick.
And then, are we going to have his, are we going to put in his, music?
Yeah.
You
set him up and then.
How do I say?
And from Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Ben McMahon.
No, I go last because you gotta have the theme. So you guys,
this is like the wrestler when you say from parts unknown.
Oh, me? Oh yeah. Pause for my theme song.
Look, this is going to be a messy pod. If you what day is it at Summer League right now?
It's day 7.
Day 6.
Yeah, we got here
day
on Thursday.
Day 6.
Yeah.
And Amin and Nick every bit of day 6 in Las Vegas right now.
It's been a long journey. It's coming to a close for me, though. This is my farewell song.
You and Zach Levine made up.
Yeah.
How many battles did you get into out here? Does anybody in Chicago like you?
I wonder about that a lot.
I gotta tell you, I have to go to battle with my dad a couple times about you.
No!
Nick, and I ride or die, though. I'm like, oh. my dad's like, what is your friend Nick Friedell saying? I go, Dad, he's great. Don't talk about Nick.
Oh, so man. You lied to your dad? Oh, my God.
Look, hey, whatever happens with Levine, we'll see. He got paid. Congrats to him. I would not have matched it if I were the Bulls. But I'll tell you this, guys. The one name that I have heard repeatedly out here in Vegas is Wendell Carter Jr.
And Kevin Knox.
And Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox, man.
Sure. We're going to have a whole separate New York Knicks pod because I don't want to derail. I want to go in the direction you're going in, but I'm in a group chat with a bunch of my friends who are from New York. And when I tell you this is like the Knicks won the title, like just this summer league, it is, and I'm not talking about the summer league title. I'm talking about the Knicks won the NBA title. It's everything. Kevin Knox is the GOAT. Mitchell Robinson is the next, you know, Amari Stoudemire. Troy Williams is getting love in the group chat, man.
While we're on this Knicks topic, I have to tell this story because it was hysterical in the moment. Mr. Hahn sent me in place of our friend Ian Begley, to the Steve Mills, Scott Perry press conference yesterday for Hazonia's introduction to the New York media that was here in Vegas. Well, let me try to set this up. There's a long table in this meeting room. On one side, you've got Scott Perry and Steve Mills. On the other side, it's me and the rest of the Knicks beat writers. And so they go through all the Hezonja questions, and then we get to Porzingis. Is he a part of the core? Going to give him a contract extension offer? And they're trying to deflect a little bit. Well, so I see it about 8-9 minutes in is my chance to say, well, guys, what's going on with you and Joakim Noah? I shit you not. There was about a 5-second pause in between
when fire starter
when they could have said anything, and they just sit there and they're like, and there was so much like tension within the table that I, of course, just started laughing.
Oh my god!
I was cracking up, and
a big Vidal laugh, like head back.
I was trying to hold it, and it made it worse. But anyway, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Noah. And I think Scott Perry finally said he's a member of our team. Uh-huh. That was how it started. And then somebody,
we still have to pay him. Damn it!
Somebody goes, "Is he a member in good standing?" And he says, well, he's a member of our team. So it was just so awkward. And my pal next to me, he looks over and he goes, dude, that was awesome.
That's why they pay you the big bucks. You got to ask the hard questions.
But I'll be, and laugh. And laugh. He's paid for his laugh. That's
right. Per laugh. He's paid per laugh.
Oh, he'd be rich.
It's funny because you would think they would have prepped for something like that. At one point, somewhere along the line, someone's going to ask us about Joakim Noah this summer. Mm-hmm. We better have a canned answer that's ready to go.
Ready to roll.
I guess that was one.
A little better than he's a member of our team.
Yeah. Well, after a pause.
He's an American citizen.
Yeah. But he did spend some time in France.
Yeah. I mean, he lives on Earth.
So yeah, that was my experience on the Knicks.
They're caught up in the Kevin Knox hype up too.
Oh, yeah. Who,
by
yeah.
the way, I've talked to him a couple times. He's great.
I haven't talked to him, but I've seen the guy play, and man, I ain't gonna lie. The first time I saw it was his first bucket, like in the first minute of his summer league debut. That dude at 6'9" gets it, like blows by everybody down the floor, goes up, throws it down with two hands in transition. I was just like, oh my god. I don't blame Knicks fans for being fired up about that kid.
I want to talk more about Dotson. And like, this is what's going on in my group chat. Like, the names, they're going deep cuts.
Oh,
on
yeah.
They're getting excited about everybody. Everybody.
I feel like we should have a rule. We don't discuss undrafted players unless they actually make the team.
Unless they have a contract.
25 plus in a preseason game. Doesn't matter. So not summer league. You got to be like at least a preseason game.
No, but we're starved and we're out here in Vegas and we're trying to get excited, you know, and it's fun to get caught up. We'll forget about it once we leave and preseason starts. We got to entertain ourselves for the 20 million days we're here.
Fran Fraschilla had the tweet of summer league. It was like the second day, and he said, just someone was blowing up, and he said, just remember in 2012, Draymond Green averaged 7 points on 28% shooting.
Mm-hmm.
The MVP of summer league was Glenn Rice Jr.
Wow. Denzel Valentine was the MVP of summer league 2 years ago.
Josh Selby.
No disrespect, Denzel.
Either. Did you hear the sad Bulls fan voice there?
Oh, yeah. She wanted to go positive, but that was like, well, I've watched the last few years, and yeah.
I mean, Kyle Kuzma was the MVP last year, so finals, yeah. And then Lonzo.
Well, let's talk about
wait. One more thing on the Knicks, though.
Oh, more Knicks, okay.
Just last thing. Just to tell you, because this is pro Lakers crowd here in Vegas. And so last night the Lakers played the Knicks. They pretty much handled them except for that third quarter.
Right.
When the Knicks had the run. And the fact that the crowd like turned.
Right.
And was pro Kevin Knox and the Knicks just shows you how excited people are about it. Because it was it was like 75% Lakers fans, but.
If I can change. You can change. Everybody can change.
And how many more games is Josh Hart going to be playing? Because the man doesn't need to be playing.
Oh, no, yeah. No. Josh, that's the funny thing about summer league. When you see the guys who a year ago were unsure of themselves or whatever, and they come back the next year, it's like, oh, yeah, you don't need to be here. So he's got that. Bam Adebayo's got that look. Who else is all the Celtics guys, their entire team is like second-year players.
I always.
OG Anunoby.
Yes.
He shouldn't have played in the first place.
I know. I know who he was.
Yeah, no doubt. But what's really sad is when you see like the third year guy.
That's, I mean, like,
Dragon Bender's a kind of a sad case. A third year, number four overall pick, and you know, you look up midway through the second quarter and he's scoreless, and you're like, oh boy.
No, let me tell you what's sad, Mr. McMahon. I watched that Bulls game yesterday. The pink shorts are awesome, by the way. What's sad is behind the Bulls bench yesterday, Chris Felicio, Cam Payne, and Robin Lopez in a Seattle Moose jersey. Yeah. The mascot.
Was Cam Payne dancing?
No.
Are you against team camaraderie?
No, team camaraderie is great, but when you have two guys that should be on the summer league floor who are sitting on the bench because they feel they're past that threshold of not having to do it anymore.
Like they're in the seen seats.
Exactly. Like, those guys? You're like, come on now.
I saw Cristiano and I didn't know it was him. I said, like, who's this Cristiano Felicio looking at? Like, that's literally what I said. And then, cause he was standing, you know how, at the back wall of Cox.
Like it's an insult.
No, it was just, yeah, exactly. Like I did the Shaq thing where you just like say what the person looks like. But he was leaning against the back wall of Cox over there with, you know, behind where the media people sit on those risers.
Bad spot to be if you have a hangover. Very claustrophobic.
Oh my God. And when, what if you're like.
That's not from experience.
But I've heard.
So I was like, yeah, what is this guy? And then like literally like 40 minutes later, he's on the bench like, oh, it is him. What?
No wonder he looks like him.
Yeah. But I thought you were going to talk about the Bulls super fan who was sitting right behind the bench.
Oh, in my ear.
That guy would not shut up, man.
For 40 minutes.
It was hyped about Wendell.
Of summer league.
Hyped about everything.
Everybody.
Everything. Everybody and everything. But I won't lie. Because summer league is weird, right? It can be raucous and very loud. And then there are moments where it's quiet and you can hear everything. And so there was I was watching Hawks Bulls. And there's I can't remember who went to the free throw line. It wasn't Trae Young. It was one of the guys that we won't speak of according to Ben's rules. And the guy says, oh, there's no chance he's going to make these. Like, and it was loud and everybody heard it, and the kid went up and missed the first free throw. And I couldn't help it. I started laughing loud, like it just ringing, echoing across the gym. But you know, that's summer league. That's summer league. I'll never forget one of my favorite summer league stories. This was, one of his 10 years ago. I'm not gonna name names, but, you could probably do the math. There's a player that we had on our team who was a very good player in the NBA now, and his then girlfriend, now his wife, was there to watch the games. And so we were playing against the Clippers, and this is when the Clippers had nothing good going on in their lives, so it was, Clipper Darryl will come out with like 1,000 Clipper fans. All
by the way, he
red.
Was here in Clippers gear.
Yeah,
so he hasn't.
Back in the days, the big games they'd put in Cox because they wanted the gym look full. Because at Thomas and Mack, it was just
there have been better games in Cox this year.
No, I'm just saying when they schedule right now, like Lakers Knicks would never be in Cox now because they know there are going to be a bunch of people here. So. But back then, that was, you know, you put the good games in Cox and you put the ones that you don't care what the crowd looks like because it won't look good. But the Clippers and Clipper Darryl will come through in those center straights, as they call them, those sections were full of people in red. So he does his Clipper Darryl thing. Here we go, Clippers. Here we go. And they do the chant and everything. You know, he does it three times and then he's quiet. But it's Thomas and Mac, so it gets super quiet. And the then girlfriend, now wife, stands up and says, sit the down and shut the up. And it's loud. And everybody, the refs, the players, the benches, the coaches, everyone just turns around and looks up and they all see me. I'm like, what do you want me to do? It's changed since then, but you still get those pockets of silence.
Was it a day game or was it at night?
It was probably the 5:30 game.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why that mattered, but it's like in the morning of a Vegas day. Okay, so what I wanted to ask you guys, does this feel like a longer summer league than, because we still have a whole entire week left.
You do.
I know Nick and I don't.
Mañana.
You know,
oh my God, all of you guys are gone?
Yep.
We didn't pack 10 pairs of sneakers.
There you go.
And Han, are you gone too? Oh my God!
Here's the thing about
why did you pants?
So are all the players.
Yeah, that's the deal. seriously, the longer you're into summer league, it's the worse the basketball gets. They shut down the good, you know, like if you're a good second year guy, you're only going to play a couple games.
And people have been getting nicked up left and right.
Yeah, people are getting nicked up, and it's not quite an AAU schedule, but these guys are playing like at least, you know, two games every 3 days. They get tired, it gets sloppier.
So the biggest thing was when they switched from you just play five games, this is your five game schedule, you're in, you're out of Vegas, to hey, now we have a tournament that happens, is you used to be able to schedule. So you would get, you know, they tell you, okay, you're going to be probably front loaded a little bit. Your first game's Friday, second game's Sunday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or something like that. You're done by, so you'll be here from Friday to Thursday, whatever. Or you might be on the back half or so. They used to schedule like that. But once you go to playoffs, everyone's guaranteed to play five games. You get your three round robin games, then you get the playoff games. You start today. Yep. Today as of recording.
Wednesday.
And then if you lose, you play in the loser's bracket, get one more game. So you still get your five games, but.
Yeah, the loser's bracket, when I had to do those games, those were rough city.
There's some serious motivation there.
But here's the thing though. So it's no longer can you book your flight if you're a team. You don't know how much winning you're going to do. And so I was talking to a buddy of mine and I said, how's it going? He's like, oh, terrible. We just keep winning.
No, that's exactly what, an unnamed, assistant coach go up to him like, how you guys are doing? We lost both games, so we're up 2-0.
Yeah, like that. Cause, you know, everyone thinks, oh, it's Vegas. It's Vegas.
Wins don't matter. They want to see their guys. They're going to get the run.
And you get that. Three games
Warren,
in, you get so.
Warren Laguerre is not listening to this, right?
Hey, they got great crowds out there. He's happy.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, so I've been doing it 3 years now. You're like the king of summer league, so you've seen the growth.
I've seen it.
I mean,
like
last
I said,
year was
3 years though, right?
But that's the difference. You were saying, why is it a little different this year?
30 teams,
but
82 games were broadcasting. By the way,
to me, it's the Lonzo effect because we were all out here last year, and that place was filled and rocking, especially for those Lakers games. And there were more people in general. I still remember last year, the Ball family gets out of a car, and LeVar and LiAngelo and all these people are walking through the corridor onto the floor. And they walked in, and the sellout crowd was going bonkers.
LeVar probably didn't appreciate that at all.
Oh no, not yet.
Guys, I'm just a dad. I want to watch my son play, guys.
I want to watch my son play. Nothing else. But
no, he had his own VIP area.
Yes, and so.
You know how many times I had to interview and ask about damn shoes last year?
That was the big story, is what shoes was Lonzo wearing? Because,
you know, like, I had journalistic integrity conflicts going on. I was calling, like, all my reporter friends, like, how do I handle this? Like, what, do I ask this question? Am I going to hurt my credibility? But I had to ask the damn questions about the shoes. So last year was big, and the fact that they went all the way to the championship game,
it's also, but it's, you know, you guys are kind of attributing some of it to the Ball effect, and yeah, I'm sure there was some of it, but a lot of it is also just the Lakers weren't good. When the Lakers aren't, they're like what the Knicks are right now, right? Mm-hmm. When you're not good, so, you know, in regular NBA land, right, when the Lakers are strong, the league is strong, right? Same thing. When the Knicks are strong, the league is strong. In summer league, it's the opposite. When the Lakers are terrible, the summer league is strong, right?
When the Lakers have high lotto
picks. Yeah, right? Because they did this for Julius Randle, and they did this for Brandon Ingram. Remember Ingram versus who went number one that year? Simmons. That game?
Simmons played like two games.
But it doesn't matter. That first Sixers-Lakers game was packed.
Yeah,
it was.
The thing was, Simmons thought if he played too many summer league games, he wasn't going to be able to be a rookie the next year. So they shut him
down.
And that game, they didn't realize to put the Lakers in the big arena. They put him in Cox. So, like, people were lined up against the wall all the way in the back.
Which game?
The Ingram-Simmons one.
They put that in Thomas and Mack.
That
was in Thomas and Mack.
Lonzo was the year that they realized that Lakers always have to be in Thomas and Mack.
Ben and Ingram were in Thomas and Mack.
Yeah.
But there, still, that year, there was excitement, to your point.
Right. And so, I mean, it's, you know, it's the Lakers, right? We're in Vegas, so most of these people are Laker fans, right? Most of the locals. And so, you know, you're going to get a very pro-Laker crowd. But obviously, if they're bad in real life, which means they have really high lotto picks, then there's an added level of excitement. And this year, you know, look, they signed LeBron. Like, none of this stuff matters. Like, people would have, if they hadn't signed, if they had,
there are rumors floating around that LeBron may be coming.
But if they swung and missed, if they, no, he's not, right? He's not making any public appearances until he gets
there. That's what they say.
Okay, all right.
Look, I think it's just people like, saying, hey, Kenny's gonna be here Friday and Saturday so we can extend this thing.
Is there a Blaze Pizza out here that he's gonna show up for? Exactly.
That people were upset about
that. Have you had Blaze Pizza? Is it good?
Oh, it's like,
hold on, don't screw up any endorsement opportunities.
Well, I mean, like, look, if you want to pay me Blaze Pizza, I will sing your praises, but, you know. Otherwise, I've got a duty to uphold of telling the truth to the people. But no.
That would be a first.
People were upset about that. Yeah. that, look, I always tell the truth. That's what gets me in trouble.
That's what gets me in trouble.
I think also that people coming to, like, big stars. I mean, Chris Paul's been here every day.
No, but that's Summer League, right?
I know, but I think Damian, because of the attention, that's another part of the change. People are seeing that, oh my gosh, I can sit next to, you know, Lonzo Ball or
here's the thing. John Wall
or DeMarcus Cousins.
If I live in Los Angeles, for instance, right, and I'm a big NBA fan, not necessarily Laker or Clipper fan, but he's a big NBA fan. I want to take my family of four to a game. We're going to sit upstairs. We're going to spend a lot of money on parking, on popcorn and peanuts and whatever, and the actual tickets. And by the way, oh, there's Luke Walton over there, that speck over there wearing a suit. Oh, look all the way over there. If you squint, you can see.
In regular season.
Yeah. Regular season, right? That's what happens regular season. Now, again, I live in LA and I pack the kids in the car and we drive 4 hours out here and $25 tickets. We get to see all the games for the day. And not only that, when we're walking to go get concessions, Luke Walton's right there, right? You know, Josh Hart's right there, right? Like, these people are all around and easily accessible and friendly, and they'll take pictures and they'll talk to you.
People are so
and blessed. It's not just coaches and players, it's execs.
The first couple days, and then they're done talking. Well, you know. Like, I've done 15 interviews.
No, well, I'm not talking about.
I know.
You know, I'm talking about.
I'm in my feelings over here because I have to be here till Sunday. You
tell us how you really feel. So, you know, summer.
No, it really,
it's the best event for fans. If you're a fan of basketball, like you said, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell.
They're all over there signing autographs on the side.
Yeah, they're here. So.
Yeah, well, not just at Thomas and Mack, too. Like, they're all around the strip. They're all over Vegas. So, like, people bump into them everywhere they go. Right. Walk into the restaurants, going through casinos, like they're just everywhere.
Yeah, you can play craps with Carl Anthony Towns.
We walked past the blackjack table tonight. There's Dominique Wilkins.
Okay, don't put people's business out there.
Everybody playing craps isn't a crime. Yeah, goodness.
He's having a good time talking to fans, smoking a cigar. Everything.
He didn't say it was at 6 a.m. or anything.
The weirdest part to me, though, truly, is as we go through like. The ecosystem of what Vegas has become with Summer League, you go into some of these hotels, and most of these places, if guys are walking down the street, oh my God, there's this guy and this guy and this guy. I was in the Cosmo the other night, and half the Bulls roster walked by. Nobody batted one eye.
Right. Hold on.
I know what's
going
on.
I know. Half the Bulls roster could walk down to Chicago right now, down Michigan Ave right now, and nobody knows who they are.
Need that dramatic pause before that joke. We all knew that joke was coming.
But I get what you're saying, because like I've seen Ty Lue 8 billion times, you know, because I think we're staying either in the same hotel or really close, and no one ever, he doesn't have a crowd of people around him, and Ty Lue's a pretty recognizable looking dude, so that's the beauty of Vegas.
And look, Vegas, like, really wasn't that hot of a city. Well, it's definitely hot in the summertime. Because why would you want to come out here? 115 degrees. But even if you see, it, I know it's not just because of NBA Summer League, but you see, like, it has really changed. It is crowded. It is packed. There are constantly things going on. There was a, like, last weekend, there was a fight. There was a World Series of Poker and Summer League. So it was, the city was.
Well, they're very happy about the NBA's presence here and how it's grown and all. But let's talk about Wendell Carter, man. Hey, you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
I hate cooking.
I'm not great at cooking.
It's hard, man.
It is difficult.
Trying to figure out what to eat.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, I'm in the supermarket. I'm confused.
Yeah.
What ingredients do I need? What am I trying to make? I don't know.
I have no clue.
You know what helps?
Tell me.
Sunbasket.
Oh.
Oh, man. They make it so easy.
You know, I play for the Connecticut Sun. I love food, so this is a match made in heaven.
You make baskets, too.
Yeah, I make baskets, too. It's just a marriage.
See, there you go. It makes it easy to stick to your healthy habits and cook delicious meals at home. I read that off the sheet.
You know what? I heard that you can even pick from 12 weekly recipes, and they deliver organic and clean. That's a mic drop right there. Right to your dough.
What more do you need? 12 weekly ones. There's only seven days in a week.
There's only 7 days in one week.
Right? And you can figure it out, right?
I'm a big girl, so I need a couple extra recipes.
No. Everything is pre-measured and easy to prep. You can get a healthy, delicious meal on the table in about 30 minutes.
That's some serious time.
I'm a busy guy. No, I don't have time to be sitting here.
We ain't got time for that.
Put it, saute it, marinate it for 4 hours. I can't do all that work.
It's too much. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, ham, all of that. Like, I just need someone to help me out.
Well, it's funny because with the Sunbasket app, picking from a delicious menu full of choices, like gluten-free, lean and clean, paleo, or vegetarian.
You know, it even gets better. See, Sunbasket works with the best organic farms and suppliers to bring you the fresh seasonal produce that you need. That is also not only, you know, lean and clean, but it's organic and non-GMO. Those scary words, or should I say letters? GMO, non.
It's a scary word, right?
It is a scary word.
GMO has become a word. I don't care what you say. But, you know, all I know is I don't have to go to the grocery store anymore.
Nope.
I don't have to be confused walking up the aisles.
Not today.
Trying to figure out where can I find this one ingredient. It all comes real nice, real easy from Sunbasket.
It's a good look.
Yeah. So go to sunbasket.com/hoop.
Hoop.
Just one hoop. Today to learn more and get $35 off your first order.
That's
major. That's sunbasket.com/hoop for $35 off. Sunbasket.com/hoop,
baby. Actually, just hoop. No, minus the baby.
I like how it means that he gets confused at supermarkets. Who gets confused at supermarkets?
Everyone does. You come in and you're like, I'm hungry.
Overwhelmed.
You have no job. You have no direction.
Do I want this brand?
Stop it.
That
you know stop how many it. Times I go to a supermarket and I get on the phone with my mom. I'm like, Mom, I don't know what I need to eat. What should I get? What ingredients do I need?
Even worse. Get on the phone with my mom and say, go get this. And I'm like, what aisle does that even exist
That's
in?
That's why you got to ask the person that works
yeah,
there.
But then
they should
like,
help you with that.
First of all, they're like
13. It's not on 13. It's on 11.
They don't know. They don't know. And they always like scratch and like look. And then you're always like, does this person actually work here or not?
And then when you finally get there, there's like 15 options. So you're going through, should I get the cheap one or should I get the expensive one? Will it matter?
Okay, standouts, Kevin Knox, Wendell Carter, Harry Giles.
I liked what Bamba did.
Yeah.
I thought Bamba had a good summer league.
Bamba and Isaac together as a native Orlandoan that has watched some horrific Magic basketball the last few years. Those two guys, if they stay healthy, oh my God, they cover. It's like two cornerbacks in the NFL that cover so much space defensively.
That's where these Jays are hurting me. Is interviewing guys like Mo Bamba. They can't fit me in the. They can't fit me in the picture.
You gotta get some Puma heels.
Or you gotta do the interview doing a handstand or something. Like tape the mic to your sneaker and just like.
Let's say you should go out on the last day.
Do you guys subscribe to this theory that summer league is more boring this year because it's a bunch of big guys and they're just not as interesting to watch?
No, you know what?
It's not as sexy.
Well, also, like, Doncic didn't play.
That would have been the big...
Yeah, he
played like 9,000 games.
Right. Like, the Mavs made the right decision. The guy's been playing since Eurobasket in September with Slovenia all the way through, right, you know, the week of the draft. But, like, he's probably the rookie that has the most sizzle. You know, it's kind of like this, okay, people know, oh, there's this 19-year-old who's a EuroLeague MVP, but nobody's, like, you know, they've seen YouTube highlights, but it's not like anybody's really seen them. And so I think him not playing took a lot of sizzle out.
And yeah, particularly like because of his style of play. He's a flashy passer. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those, you know, it's a very ooh and ah crowd out here. So.
I mean, and Ayton has been solid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you this. All of us are better at feeding the post than anybody that the Suns had out here. So it was like, honestly, it was hard to judge it because it's like, good Lord, this is the worst passing even summer league team that I've ever seen. And by the way, I don't know who the hell's playing point guard in Phoenix this year, so that's
I don't think they know either.
Yeah, and
what do you guys think of that Devin Booker contract?
You know, I felt like it's something that they had to do. You know, I mean, that's their franchise player. You can make arguments. I don't think any Suns beat writers question how much his value was before the contract was signed. There was no laughing emojis exchanged on Twitter, but but it's certainly a risk, kind of like what the T-Wolves did with Wiggins. It's a risk to pay a guy who, to this point, has been a very one-dimensional score and not do much else player for a losing team, but I would have done the same. I'd have given him the contract.
It's we were talking about the next Kobe Shaq, right?
It's the type of contract the face gets, the face of the franchise, but in this case, he's been the face of a terrible, terrible team.
Yeah, I'll say this about him, and the little bit I've been around him, I do think, like, he understands what being the face of a franchise is about, you know, and it sounds a little silly, but, like, he has kind of the charisma, you know, and all that to go that you need to be that face. He has. I think the kid's got cojones.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've seen like
what an A in it.
I remember when Russ was trying to break the triple double record. I was actually covering that game.
And it was in Phoenix.
And look,
it was at that game.
And Booker was like, ain't happening. You know, the whole Suns team. But then Booker absolutely lit it up. And you know, the kid's got. He's got some fire to him.
He's the new babyface assassin because he definitely is getting carded here.
He's not. When you get the one of them contracts, you don't get carded anywhere anymore.
Yeah, you bring in a bag of cash. They ain't asking for no ID.
You know what he reminds me of? Not as a player, but just in what you just described. It's like Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, when he came out of college, no one expected him to be the face of a franchise, but he knew, he just had the, I don't want to call it maturity or just the understanding.
Yeah, the presence, the persona.
Persona, presence, charisma, and also like the common sense to know this is how you have to carry yourself.
He made some headlines while here. His comments.
Yeah, his WNBA equal pay comments. Oh, you're talking about the other stuff. No, but you know, it's, and you know, when we can get into that in a second, cause that's interesting. That's the other side of being the face, right? You get to influence what happens. And, and so in Booker's case, you know, we had a little bit of that happened earlier this summer. They cut Tyler Ulis, who's one of his best buddies on the team. And people were saying, well, do you have to check in with him on everything? And I said, no, it's, first of all, it's not about checking in on him. It's just making him feel like he's involved, because if he's the face of your franchise, if this is the lone bright spot that you have, then you owe an obligation to keep him apprised of what you're doing. But then the other thing was, it wasn't that Tyler Ulis is his best friend. So Tyler Ulis is the point guard, and they have no point guard.
Well, and right, and now Booker's like, so am I playing point guard?
And
like, what's going
that's
on
something
here?
He doesn't necessarily like, you know. So it's one of those things where And we can transition to Damian Lillard here. It's like, when you're the face, it's not just like you get billboards and all that, but it's also, hey guys, what are we doing? Right? Yeah. Because that's ultimately what being a franchise player is about. Is about holding your front office and your ownership accountable when they're doing things that don't make a whole lot of sense.
And which certainly Damian Lillard felt like letting Ed Davis go for $4.4 million did not make a whole lot of sense. Now, he's not paying the luxury tax bill, but he also isn't feeling bad for his multi-billionaire owner.
Right. I mean,
and there's some frustration because, you know, they have this great regular season, then fizzle out in the playoffs, and you know, I get the sense that Lillard maybe is coming to the realization of, okay, have we kind of hit our ceiling in Portland, and do I want to be the face here for the rest of my career? Or is
there reckless with That's what I read into those comments.
Well, see, here's the thing. A couple of things. First of all, it's not just, hey, we let Ed Davis walk for $4 million. It's the idea that if I'm, you know, Damian Lillard, I look up and down the Western Conference, and with the exception of probably Houston, everybody got better. Everybody got better. Memphis is going to get better just because they're
San
healthy.
Antonio will take a step back once Kawhi's moved.
But Kawhi didn't play last year, so.
Yeah, but there's 10, 11 playoff caliber teams in the West, and then the bad teams got better.
Bad teams got better. So, you know.
Well, you could argue that Houston technically didn't get better by losing
Ariza. That's what I said.
Still.
Other than Houston.
And Mba Mute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, before July 1, if you were Dallas, or July 1, you know, after, you know, the first couple hours, if you're Dallas or Denver or Memphis, you're saying, or the Clippers, you're saying, you know what, guys, we missed the playoffs last year, but I think we can get this. I think, you know, if we stay healthy, we can definitely get this. And then LeBron James comes, and it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like,
those teams aren't worried about the Warriors. That was a Houston.
Like, LeBron is a dynamic changer because it guarantees there's going to be a hell of a good team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Right. The Lakers clinched their playoff berth when LeBron committed.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Do we? You definitely think that the Lakers make the playoffs?
Moving along.
Oh, okay.
Along.
You don't want to touch that? Okay, great.
They're going to the playoffs.
Okay, lastly, as we hit on just news that's been surrounding the week, what do we think of the chances of Melo being a Rocket? And
it's headed that way. It sounds like that will happen. And, you know, Daryl Morey is a much, much smarter man than I am. Chris Paul knows a hell of a lot more about basketball than I do.
It's not saying much.
I mean, Amin El-Hassan doesn't, but...
I mean, that's not a compliment to Chris Paul.
But my point is this. I don't see how Carmelo Anthony makes the Rockets better. I'll be honest. I think Luke and Mba Mute would help the Rockets more next season than Carmelo. The Rockets don't need more offense. They're obviously a historically elite offensive team. The reason they were legit contenders last year was the drastic defensive improvements they made. Losing Ariza and Mba Mute and having Melo come in and get, you know, the lion's share of those minutes, all that defensive improvements out the window.
I guess the one question I would ask is, before last season started, did we expect Houston to be that good defensively? Because if we didn't, then maybe Morey's got something else. They're not trying to do what they did last year. They're trying to do the next thing. And that's not what we're giving
not
them credit for.
Not miss 27 threes?
Well, what they did last year wasn't bad. 65 wins, and if CP3 doesn't have his hammy go on him, they probably are in the finals. So I would have tried to do what they did last year again.
I agree
completely with what you said, Tim. And I think people fall in love with what Carmelo used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what Carmelo...
Himself included.
Yeah, absolutely. And what he is now is just not a guy who's going to have that dramatic of an impact on a nightly basis. And what Houston needs is... Are those tough guys they just lost who can play defense and can hit from the outside, and you know what you're getting every night? And I think that's the biggest problem.
And they can switch everything, whereas Melo, when he's on the floor, he's the one, like, their teams are trying to make him switch.
Right.
He's the bullseye.
Right. He's the guy.
His Instagram flexed the last couple of years, though, by the way.
Excellent at it.
He's still elite there.
Excellent at it. Like, you say even he doesn't know. Maybe he does know. And he's just like, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Did you see him when he was sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter of those playoff games? And look, it's hard when you've been a star your whole career. I mean.
He's going to Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's hard to.
And these guys have massive egos.
Right. He still has
as they should.
Ego. Yeah.
The NBA they're superstars. They're full-fledged celebrities, unlike, you know, the NFL may be the king of sports. Yeah, soccer's the only other.
Our friend Mike Wilbon made this point a couple weeks ago, and it was I thought it was very good. He said that
our friend.
The
what? No Wilbon shade no, on this, no, on this pod.
I kid.
Our we'll friend. Go to blows.
So when he was going through the NBA and the growth of the game, he said the NFL is still king within America, but the NFL has no global stars, even Tom Brady, because the NBA has reach everywhere now. And the only sport that can compare, as we watch the World Cup unfold around us the last month, is soccer.
Yeah, I had like five people come up to me who said they flew in from the Philippines to come to Summer League.
Wow.
To come to Summer League.
And in China, look, like when Tencent broadcasts those games, there's like 15, 17 million people in China watching those games. I mean, then there's a reason everybody who has a huge shoe contract does a tour in China. China
Clay.
Tracy McGrady still goes to China like three times a year or whatever. Yeah, like, Tracy hasn't played in Tracy.
Tom Marbury has a statue? Museum.
A museum? A play based on his life? A movie adaptation of the play? I mean,
granted, that wasn't because of his NBA career, but still.
No, it was because, well, no, yes, it is. It's because his NBA career is what got him to China, right. And then him buying into China is what made him a Chinese superstar,
touché.
Right? But, you know, it's, going back to Carmelo, the problem with the Rockets, I agree with you, Tim, that they were better off having those guys. I mean, what made them special was you had Tuck, you had Trevor, and you had Luke, and all three of those dudes could defend multiple positions, were tough sons of and they all could hit a three, right? And so now you've lost.
And they knew their role.
Oh, and
you've got two star playmakers, you know, Capella as the vertical spacer, rim runner, you know, rim protector, and then you had a bunch of role players who fit perfectly into specific defined roles. Melo is not a guy who has proven that he can fit in as a role player.
But here's the problem now. Those guys are gone, right? You kind of now you need Melo because you need a three. Who else is going to play the three for them? It's gone.
But I guess that's going to be the question. Was this your plan all along?
I don't think so.
And Fertitta did not like my line of question, but I think a big part of the plan was let's limit the pain of the luxury tax. And Ariza at 15 mil, I get. In Bob Mute
at four and change,
I was like,
I don't know if I get the Ariza thing. I just feel Ariza was such a huge
15
piece
mil. You got to let him walk for 15 mil,
and then you start multiplying that, whether you know by 375. Yeah, I mean, like, so you know, do you want to pay whatever it would be $60 million for? I can understand that
for a guy that we've established that there are two other guys on the roster who kind of do the same thing, right? At the time, at the time. So,
but when they lost him, I was like, okay. Got to keep him, Bob Mute.
Of course, yeah. No, and I didn't even think it was a question.
And then when he leaves for less than full mid level,
for half of it.
Well, yeah, I'm talking the.
Still,
you know, less than that, like he didn't leave because somebody gave him an offer.
15 million, right? Yeah.
You know, he left because the Rockets were like, we don't want to get into our mid level. We just want to do. You know, we got our max players. We're trying to lowball Capella.
What are they doing with Capella?
I mean, there's no market there because nobody has money, and it's a game of chicken.
Kings have money.
Well, yeah, it's a game, and they've got like eight centers.
The Kings going off after Marcus Smart too.
If I'm the Kings, I just mess with everybody.
Hey,
I'll go to dinner with Capella, like take mad Instagram pictures.
I feel like there was like a report that like
Marcus Smart,
and his agent were meeting with the Kings in the Cox Arena up in the stands. That's another thing. Oh, that was the Nets.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a good reporter here.
Guy Mike Scotto took a picture of it. Yeah. They were up in the near the rafters, and Scotto took a picture of it and tweeted it. So there, what a reporter.
That's another thing that happens at Summer League. So come on down.
Yeah, like
clandestine
free agent meetings unfolding before our very eyes. But no, the Rockets they're basically signing guys to minimum deals around two max players, and then they're trying to get Capella at significantly less than market value based on, you know, I mean, look, Steven Adams, Rudy Gobert are 4 years right in that 100 million range. Mm-hmm. That's where Capella thinks he ought to be, rightfully so. And they're not sniffing that.
It's the climate, too, of this free agency period with next year's looming. All of these one-year deals.
I don't think you can mess around with this one.
No, because like, look.
Because if for whatever reason.
Talking about Clint?
Yeah, he can't mess around. He's the most irreplaceable player. Not the best player, not the most important player. but irreplaceable. There's nobody
and
on their roster.
And complements their superstars.
Perfectly.
Perfect.
And going back to what you said about Ariza and Mbamute.
Yes.
Buys into that role. Yes. The, I don't want, like, think about what
he
does.
He's the anti-Dwight.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was about to say. Like, he was Dwight's backup, and they realized they were much better when he played rather than Dwight. Not because he's a better player than Dwight, but because.
Well, he is now. But yeah.
He is now. But at the time, it was because he just buys
because
in.
Because he's willing to set a screen.
And roll hard.
Hard to the rim.
And not by not getting post touches.
Side note, John Wall and Dwight Howard's going to be a fun, fun locker
hold
room
on.
To watch.
John Wall. John Wall, Bradley Beal, who also is, he got his tendencies or whatever. Dwight Howard, and lest we forget, Austin Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
isn't that
yes, yes, yes.
That, yes. They're not that there's drama in the Wizards locker room will be anymore.
No, Scott Brooks is going to have his hands full.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap on because y'all are you guys going to the arena today?
I gotta go to the jump taping right now or live or whatever.
Bye. Hashtag bye. See you later, guys. Thanks.